offering up, sung a song, you did a special song, and you did a sermon, then there was an altar invitation. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But how many knows that it's not really about us? It's about the Lord. How many knows that? So, and I know that messes people up, but, you know, the fact is, I don't care. You know, if the Lord moves in somebody's heart to share a word, Pastor Hart, you know, I believe if God is sincerely about it, then the Lord will know. And I believe, guess what? I believe the pastor will know it too. Amen? I believe that's all right. But Justin, come up here, buddy. And I'm not going to call you out to embarrass you, but this boy's been on a journey too. This young man, this is Cindy's son and Chastity's brother. And an old schoolboy too that I know many, many years ago. But listen, Justin's been in some dark places in his life. We've all been in dark places. Don't act like you've not been, because you have been. How many's ever been in the dark? When I was a kid, Tracy, I was scared to death of the dark. Josh, I was scared of the dark. I wanted Mom to leave the light on. And when she left the room, it lots of times our darkness is about the things that our life are exposed to. The situations and the struggles that go on in a family. There was a lot of struggle and drama, Rick, in my family. There was a lot of illusion, a lot of doubt. You know, my dad was this way one time and that not that way one other time. And I love my dad, and he's in heaven. He's with Jesus, and he gave his life to Christ. And he wasn't perfect, but I know that years he struggled in his darkness with alcohol. And that darkness permeated the atmosphere of our home. So it created a lot of tension, a lot of situations in the family. And there were times that I was just scared. I mean, know that the dark is a pretty good place to be scared. Any real people here this morning? Come on, I'm a teacher. You know, I look for hands. If I don't see hands, guess what? You know what the teachers do? They come back and they ask the person that don't raise their hand. So if you don't want me to pick on you, just raise your hand. Even if you don't even hear what I'm saying, just raise your hand. Yeah, there you go, Roman. Just raise your hand. I'm going to need your help today, Sal. But Justin's been on a journey. And he's been in a dark place. Two ways. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically, geographically. And I know that, man, I thought that he might. So if he still don't want to, that's fine. But he wrote a song. And it came to me that he wanted to just share a verse of that song he wrote. Because, you know, he's got his heart wrapped around the Lord. Now, is he perfect? No. You see perfection here? In fact, if I look in this room, I don't see it anywhere. I know it's someplace, and it's found in the Lord. And if there's any perfect in this place, it's the Lord in you that's bringing forth that goodness. Because we've not done anything good. So quit acting like you're good. There's none good, the Lord says, only one. There's only one good. We do good things, but it's because the Lord in us. So the Lord is doing some things in this guy. And he's been here a long time ago, but Justin got hit in the jaw. And not physically, maybe physically, but you went in a spin, a tailspin, right, Justin? You're in a bad place. Where's Jonathan? Jonathan? Wow, man, you even got a friend with you today. Who's your friend, brother? That's your brother? Like your real flesh and blood brother? Wow, come on, let's give it up for brother. Now, don't you hold the brakes. I said, don't you hold on the brake. So, I wanted to say this today. I wanted to say this, that we've all been in dark places. But that's why this powerful light shined down into our darkness. No matter how much you think you've got your life together, we need the Lord. We need His light. Justin needs His light. So I'm going to let him a cappella, maybe a verse of this, if you want to. If you don't want to, a rap. Whoa. We like a rap. You're looking at me. You say, whoa, whoa. What's all that gray there? You know, your granddad. Your granddads don't like rap. This granddad does. I like rap if it's anointed rap. Amen. How many some? What, Oldie over there, man? He's cracking up. It's all right to have fun in the house of the Lord. This should be the apex of where you have fun. That way when you leave, you say, oh, babe, I believe I want to go back there. It's a good time when we go there. How many knows it's all right to have a good time? Don't come with her faces all hung down like we've been eating Sawbriars, you know, dipping in grandma's salt pickle jar all of our life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy. Okay, Justin, I know you're... Are you ready? And if you want to say what the Lord's done for you, but look at Jonathan and all of us. And I'm not just highlighting people, but I'm just saying people who have been in some, I know, dark places. Regan, where's Regan? Where'd he go? Dark places. Dark places. Can I say this before you do this? And I'm going to let you do the rap. Sister Irma will testify to this. Tiffany, where's Tiffany? You'll testify to this. Will Harris, he's not here. He's in Martinsville this morning. But who else was with us on the van the other night when we went over there? And we went to prison, Camp 18. You know, we had Harless, Ginger, there was probably, what, 9, 10 of us over there? But I'm going to tell you something. I saw a first for the first time in prison ministry. I saw 75 or 80 men dancing in the darkest place of their life. They were dancing, Kelly. God used Heath to minister a powerful word about dancing in the place that you thought you were going to die. Where's Will? Wow, you know Will did that? Will was on the other side of the spectrum. He was an officer, a sergeant. And for a while, if it's okay, Will, we couldn't engage him in prison ministry because he had this wall built up. Because he was around that darkness for such a long time that it built up. It built up a resistance to God's plan temporarily until God showed him. And so when Will would probably never dream this 10 years ago, but God used him one night to preach a powerful word to the very dark place that controlled his life for such a long time. And since that day, he has danced in glorious freedom. How many knows that there's a place that God can have you dance in? You may be dark right now. It may be dark for you. But I'm telling you, the place, listen, that you'll find freedom is the very place you're going to dance in and rejoice. I believe that, Tracy. I believe there's a time you're not going to need this. You're going to walk through those doors with your hand lifted up. I'm going to climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I believe that. Whew. Some people coming out of their darkness today. I know it. 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 Turn to somebody and say, I know it. If you don't know it, you're not. Well, you might. The Lord might just slap you upside the head with a powerful bolt of His power and presence, Kelly. And suddenly, the light comes on. But I tell you, on that journey over there, there's preparation went on. Not only from the people, not only from Heath, not only the men inside the walls, but we worship God all the way. Sister Irma's telling me this morning how powerful it was. Will got to get fiddled out, man. He was just... Man, we were just having church in the van. And whoever was riding behind us might have thought we were a little bit, glad there weren't no policemen. But you know what? We were worshiping God, hands were lifted up, and I was driving, and I was beating that old steering wheel like it was a drum. And Robbie, I never played a drum before, but man, I was in drum zone. Tiffany was praying. She was binding and casting and loosing the power and presence of the Lord, and it filled that little van. And when we got there, we were ready. We walked into that, to a lot of people, seemed a dark place. There was a light that came on. And those men who were in that darkness that night, I've never seen a sight like that. And I've been in Angola, I've been to different places, and I've never seen that many men dance in the place they thought they were going to die in. So my word to you today, you're going to dance in the place you thought you were going to die in. That's right. That's right. Everybody say, that's right. I'm proud of this guy. I'm proud of all of you all today. In a good way. Because of what God's done in your life. Man, I get blessed for seeing you. I get blessed just hanging out with you. Kevin, man, look at that. Woo, you got your sleeve rolled up and say, come on, let's get to the table. I can taste that spiritual chicken right now. So I'm proud of you, buddy. So, wow. Listen. He needs some encouragement. I don't know, he might be a little bit nervous, okay? So let's give it up for Justin and honor the Lord, okay? It's about the Lord, but he needs encouragement.
All right. I wrote this when I was in the darkest place of my life. I was in a cell for 23 hours a day. Didn't get to come out. I had to take a shower in my cell, eat in my cell, everything. It's called change. No, I've been changed. Forgive me, Father. Oh, I know I've been changed. For the angels in heaven done sign my name. I woke up this Sunday morning feeling kind of different. I took it as a sign from the Lord telling me I should listen. Quit making life complicated and stick to the basics. For there's only one dream and I should face it. Get down on my knees and ask for forgiveness. For the Lord can change your ways, for I'm his witness. The devil had me in his hole, still I resisted. Get to the churches and do the same thing. For the Lord knows that I've been changed. I know I've been changed. Forgive me, Father. Oh, I know I've been changed. For the angels in heaven done sign my name. The devil had me on the wrong path. I couldn't escape his grasp. Then I asked forgiveness and escaped my troubled past. I came from the darkness and made it to the light. Now I'm face down in my Bible every single night. With the Lord in my back, I can't lose a fight. When I'm in trouble, I go to my scriptures and read my daily bread. With the devil defeated and in my passions, listen to what I said. I know I've been changed. Forgive me, Father. Oh, I know I've been changed. You can tear my body, but save my soul. For the angels in heaven done sign my name. I made so many mistakes before, and I'm on the path to right my wrongs. Jesus was knocking, so I opened up the door and ran straight into his loving arms. He sat me down right then and there and listened to all my problems. And he gave me the means for me to finally solve them. He gave me the Bible and told me to never falter. When in trouble, son, holler in the name of the Holy Father. I know I've been changed. You can tear my body, but save my soul. The devil had me in his grasp, but I broke his hold. I broke his hold.
that's real? How many knows that's real? That's real, Jason. Wow. Smiling like you've been dipping in grandma's honey bucket back there. You know what he's talking about. Amen. How many knows if you've been in darkness, you've come to the light, then there's something to rejoice in. Amen. How many has the Word of God with you? I want you to look in the pages of God's Word with me this morning. Now, God is about doing awesome things, and He's going to do things. He's going to do some powerful things, and He's going to continue to do some powerful things. Because we none got it figured out. We just depended on the Lord. How many knows we depend on the Lord? So if you have a Bible, I'm going to look in the pages. One of the most powerful illustrations of the story in God's Word. And Sal, I'm definitely, as I said, I'm going to need your help today. Because I'm not an authority on music. I'm not my son, and my son's not me. I'm not Kelly. Kelly's not me. I'm not Josh, and Josh is not me. I'm not Sister Betty. Betty's not me. I'm not Will. Will's not me. I'm not all these people. We have to be who God's called us to be. And for years earlier on in ministry, I tried to preach like somebody else. I tried to act like someone else. And the Lord told me a long time ago that I had to be who He's called me to be. We all got a different role. We all got a different, God's got a different plan for all of us. So this morning in the book of Acts, I'm going to talk about a miracle today at midnight. I saw a miracle Friday night in the prison. Something that only God could do. I saw 75 or 80 men dancing in the place that causes them the most pain. So everybody that's here this morning, you've been through great things in your life, okay? So Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. I'm going to read one verse. Okay, and sit down. I'd read you through all those scriptures, but you can read them, and we'll touch on some of them, okay? Now, when we went over to Elizabethton back a few weeks ago, I shared a snippet of this to a room full of people who needed Jesus that night. I believe there's somebody in this room that needs Jesus today. That'd be everybody. So, verse 25. But at the hour of midnight, everybody say midnight. Midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God and the prisoners. Now, let me just say something. When this verse is read here, this verse is in your hearing, it's being read. These men were in prison. How many knows that? Wouldn't be the place. Be the most likely place that you would be singing songs and hymns and praising the Lord. How many knows that? It's a dark time. It's a bad time. And people don't usually praise the Lord, be honest with you, when it's dark and they're going through rough times. That's just natural. But there are those who do praise Him in the darkness. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying inside the prison. They weren't just in a prison. They just weren't there with the TV stuck in front of their face and, you know, paint on the wall. And they weren't there and you know, getting a three meal a day, a dinner and all these kinds of things. These guys were in the inner prison in stocks and bonds. They were fastened because the Roman government was afraid that they'd escape. And they were there because of the gospel. They were preaching the gospel and casting out the devils. And a man got mad because his circus party got interrupted. And so he went to the townspeople and he stirred up a ruckus. And they all came around and they come down on Paul and Silas and they threw them in the inner prison. Not just a prison, but an inner prison. And while they were singing and praising the Lord, this is what happened. The prisoners who were there other than Paul and Silas, people other than them were listening in. How many knows there's somebody listening to you and watching you when you're going through what you're going through? They, come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. Somebody's watching you, looking at you. When you go through hard times, it's what you do in those hard times that's powerfully important. Ooh, I'm going to have to watch it right here. The sensitive issue. It's not the time to get on Facebook, get on Twitter, if you call it that. It's not the time to get on social media and tell the world how bad you got it. Because there's a million people more that's got it worse than you do. Amen. It's a time to lift Christ up. It's a time to praise Him. Okay. I figure I didn't get a lot of response out of that. Well, so the prisoners were listening to them. So today, you may be seated. At the hour of midnight. At the hour of midnight is a important part of the night. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, you notice that God divided the night and the day. And He gave equal hours to each of them, 24 hours in the day. And the very middle of that 24 hours is a time called 12 o'clock. It can be 12. It can be 12. It's a separation of night and day. It's, you know, you're going through the darkest time in your life, and you know, but you got to remember here that at midnight you're 1 minute away from the morning. So Psalms 30 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of you here today, you've allowed the devil to steal your joy, your peace. Listen, you've allowed the Lord, the devil to steal your victory. You've allowed the enemy to walk right in. And at your hour of midnight, you sort of quit. You sort of give up. You sort of abandon the hope that only God can give you. And here today, I'm reminding you, the Holy Spirit's reminding you that there is joy coming in your day. That there is a breakthrough coming in your life. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I just wish somebody else would wrap their heart around this. Roll your sleeves up and say, Lord, I'm going to eat today. I'm not going to pick at my food. I'm not going to pick at what I want and what I don't want. Take it all in. Eat it all. Amen. Somebody say, eat it all. So here Paul and Silas was at the darkest time in their life. The question today is, what are you doing during the darkest time of your life? What are you doing at your hour of midnight? The psalmist David says in Psalms 119 and 62, I like this. At midnight, this is an old song. You know, it's easy to sing when the sun is shining bright. But you need a song in your heart in the night. How many knows that He gives you a song in the night? Amen. He'll give you a song. He'll give you a praise in the night. And other people will see that and they'll give glory back to God. Because this is not just about your life. It's about the lives of others. So Psalmist David said, at midnight I will arise and give you praise because of your righteous judgment. How many knows the Lord is worthy of praise? There have been times that I didn't want to praise Him at midnight. I'll be honest. There have been times that I've spent more time crying and on my face. There have been times that I've been so stressed and so troubled and so perplexed and so bound by my situation and my darkness. You're saying, you mean you've been a preacher, you're a believer, and you've been bound? Listen, we're all bound by stuff. We're all tied up by stuff. The enemy wants to keep you locked into your darkness. But today, it's time to get up. It's time to stand up out of your darkness and dance in the place that you thought you were going to die in. It's time to get up and dance a little bit. Quit letting the world take your dance. If somebody ought to be able to dance, it ought to be God's people. Say, whoa, I don't know about all that dancing stuff, man. That's for the devil. No, no, no. God created the dance. He's the Lord of the dance. It's the devil that's perverted what God gave. It's time to dance. It's time to rise up because the sun is getting ready to come up. It's time to dance. In your darkness. And if you can't dance in your darkness, the dancing in the sunshine, not much count. Amen. You've been in a dark place before, Steve. I know some of it, and I only know a little bit of it. I know this one's been in a dark place. I was called. How many knows that bad things happen at night? If your kid's fever's going to go up, guess what? It's going to go up in the night. If you're going to get a bad phone call, guess what? You're going to get it in the night. In 1984, I received a bad phone call. I wasn't looking for it, but it was in the night. And we were staying at my parents' house. And at the hour, in the darkness, when I thought everything seemed to be okay, I got a call from a broken voice. I got a call from a loved one that said my oldest sister had been tragically killed in a car wreck in Detroit, Michigan. Well, listen, it devastated me. It devastated my mom and dad. It was one of the darkest times they'd ever been through in their life. It was a dark time. I wasn't looking for that. How many knows that bad news can come at midnight? Dark things can happen at midnight. If you study demonic, if you study anything about the occult and about demonic powers and rituals, these things take place at midnight. That's when the devil's activities take place, in the darkness. But let me tell you something. The devil might be trying to mess with you. The devil may be trying to hold you down. But guess what, friend? You're on the edge of a breakthrough. You're on the edge of God coming through for you. Joy is coming in the morning. Turn to somebody and say, my joy is coming. My joy is coming. Woo! I'm getting my shout back. I'm getting my Shabbat back. I'm getting my praise back. I'm getting my peace back. I'm getting my strength back. You believe that, Sister Perry? You've been through some dark times in your life. But you're here. You're here. You're here. And there's joy above in the journey for you that one could only dream about. You could only dream about. We've been through some dark times. Roman, you've been through some dark times. A year in that camp. That camp where you had the option of going to that camp or spending harder time. You went to that camp to break you away from drugs and the addiction and all the things that happened in your life that the darkness of your early life sort of slung you into. We've all been through dark times. Kelly and Amber, you've been through dark times. Listen, Joyce and Josh, you've been through dark times, but you're here today. Tracy, Yvonne, you've been through dark times, but you're here today. You've been through dark times, my sister, but you're here today. Harless, you've been through dark times. Never was there a darker time in your life when you had to go to the cemetery and lay that only son of yours to rest. How many knows that we go through things in this life? It's dark in those places. It's troubling in those places. Listen, it's disturbing in those places. There's no peace. There's no contentment found in those places. I got a call. Listen, how many knows that your parents know a few things about you you don't think they know about you. I knew my daughter was going through some dark times. I knew that there were things that weren't right in her life, because she wasn't coming to supper a lot. She wasn't coming to fellowship at her old hangout place a lot because she was hiding things. How many knows it's easier to hide stuff in the dark? It's easier to hide things in the dark. Oh, but listen, friend, I'm reminded of what the book of Isaiah chapter 60 says. Well, there's a darkness on the earth, a gross darkness, a great darkness. But he said, now is the time, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you and shining upon you, and God shall use you in the darkness to be a beacon to those that struggle in their darkness. God's going to use you in the dark. You think it's just about God using you in all the little Sunday school light things? God's going to use you in the dark. Oh, I'll never forget this, Rick. Maybe you relate to this. We lived up a holler dark. Ooh, man, it was dark. It was canopied with trees. In the summer times, it was so canopied with trees that the darkness, the light escaped early in the evening. And it would get dark. I was afraid to walk up that holler. But every now and then, I'd get called out. And I'd have to walk up by there. I had to walk by a cemetery. I don't know why that bothered me. Oh. But you know, I went by as a young guy, journeyed up the holler, and I remembered that. I remembered that the part of that darkest place in the holler, which the cemetery is up on the hill, I'd run like the dickens. That's an expression, okay? I'd run to beat the band, man. I would run hard. I'd be like Forrest Gump. I'd run hard past that dark place. Then when I start seeing the porch light on, I knew it was safe. I could slow down a little bit. But it was better when I got in the house, when I got amongst the light. And sometimes in the evening and dark, my grandparents lived way up above the hill above us. And listen, my watch is torn up, so I can't occasionally glance and see what time it is. Maybe the Lord's giving me a message there. But listen, you don't have remnant tonight, and you can just go barbecue all evening with your family. Okay, you got tomorrow off, maybe some of you. But listen to this. I'm not going to keep you long. That wasn't an intro for me to be here for an hour longer. But I'm just saying, at night, our parents would take the little kids up the holler and visit with the grandparents. It was even darker than the place that I told you about just a minute ago. Darkness everywhere, and at night you couldn't see your... I'm not kidding you, Lakin. Some of you are laughing at me, but I'm not kidding you, Erica. It was so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. But my dad had a light. He always carried a light up the hill. And he also made sure that there was batteries in it, because you couldn't get back down the hill in the dark. I'm telling you. So we'd run along. You know how kids are, playing, throwing rocks and scaring each other. Boo, you know, Tracy and Yvonne, you know, you come right out of the mountains of Kentucky. Them hollers. Everybody say holler. How many knows what I'm talking about? That's not me raising my voice. Okay, Nakia back here, maybe she's a little bit puzzled because she don't... Did you have hollers where you came from? You had streets, right? Well, this was our dirt street with big rocks and stuff in it. Foxes and coons and possums and we didn't have really bear, I don't think, then. But you know, it was still a dark place, and we traveled up. Man, the kids get distracted by their play. And even though they were on the outskirts of light, and we'd still get caught up, and our parents get way ahead of us, and we'd holler out, "Mom, Dad, we're in the dark." Dad turned around, and he shined the light. And he stood there, and he waited for us to catch up. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Do you hear what God is saying with that word? God waits on us. He waits on us. Every now and then, he has to, Jody, he has to stop and he has to turn around the light and he has to say, come on, kids, catch up. God's not about kicking you off the boat. He's about you catching up. So, Jenny got a disturbing phone call one night in her darkness. It was a very dark time in her life, and I'll never forget that. We've all been in dark places. All been in dark places. In the darkness, I got a phone call in 2001. I wasn't expecting that phone call. How many knows that you expect your parents to live forever? They're giants, right? They live forever. I mean, don't your moms and dads, those who can know what I'm talking about, we know they're going to live forever. We just don't imagine them growing old. We don't imagine them having frailties. We don't imagine them like Jenny laughing at her mom and dad the other day over a little few senior moments we had when we was taking her out there. How many knows that with the older you get, you can be afforded a few senior moments? Some of y'all don't even act like you know what I'm talking about. Some of you not even old and you still got senior moments. So, Rick, why are they laughing at us? But it's what happens in that darkness. In 2001, I received a phone call. Your dad has had a huge stroke. And he's at Jenkins. When I got there, Dad was pretty much already gone. I never did get to say bye to Dad. Oh, listen, friend. Love people. Love people. Love people. Be kind to people. Tell people you love them often. Get over this pride thing. Get over this selfish thing. And you love people. Amen. My God redeemed my dad from alcohol and destruction, a dark time in my life that I'll never forget. I remember times running and hiding in the closet, and I'm being transparent here, real, okay? So, and a little toy cat buster, and praying that God would make that real so I could destroy my dad, because I saw him trying to destroy my mom. Destroy our family. That's real. Is it okay to be real? So in my darkness, a darkness time, being pulled and violence and things going on, a dark time. I'm not saying that it was all that way. My dad was a great provider. But he had dark issues himself. But one day, in a little Methodist church, he found grace. And he wrapped his arms around God, and God wrapped his arms around him, and God set him free. And the neighbor said, if God could save George, he could save anybody. They said of him, even the dogs will know there's a difference in George. How many knows that Jesus will make a difference in your life? He's a difference in your life. I saw a difference. My dad laid the alcohol down. He laid the addiction down. He wasn't perfect, but he laid the violence down and he tried his best. And at years that our life was so separated by darkness, God redeemed and allowed us to preach the gospel together. To travel the mountains and the hills and be in revivals. Many times he'd stop and pick me up. Say, you ready to go, son? I'm going to be there, but it was always 2 hours early. How many knows that rentals time? That's a pretty tough thing. But God redeemed that. God redeemed that. I'm reminded in a story of a little woman by the name of the little woman by the name of Ruth, who went back to the land of Israel, the house of bread, And she went back because there was a revival in Jerusalem and there was food there, and they went back. But Naomi didn't have a husband, so her life was destined for more dark times, more troubled times. But they had a relative. They had a kinsman redeemer. They had someone who would, in that culture at that time, someone who would stand up that was related to the widow and say, "I'll take care of her. She's my property now. I'll provide for her. She's got a place to rest. She's got food to eat, and I'll take care of her." So Ruth went with her. Ruth went with her. And so it was at an hour, midnight, that she knew she had an opportunity, Ruth did, to go into the winnowing floor. She had an opportunity to go into where Boaz, and that's what his name was, that's what her nearest kinsman was. And she went in and she took a risk. She said, "We'll be ostracized and we'll be put aside, and I don't know what we're going to do in this situation. We'll end up with no food. We'll end up destitute and in a dark place." And so it was that she went in and she took a risk and she knelt. She laid in the hours of darkness at Boaz's feet. Oh, you can find many things when you lay and humble yourself at his feet. Oh! You can find things. And suddenly he realized what had happened. And Kelly, he woke up. He was startled because somebody was laying at his feet. And she says, "I'm here because I need a kinsman. I'm here because we need somebody to take care of us." So what he did is he sent for the scarf or the covering. And laying at his feet, he said, "Listen, Ruth, you can lay here. There's nothing intimate here, so don't let your mind. This is all powerful." So he said, "You can stay here through the night, and I'll cover you with my covering." Oh, when I came to the cross many years ago, I needed redeemed. I needed my life bought back. And you see, that's what redemption is. It's buying back that which was lost, that which was taken away from you. You had the opportunity to buy that back. So she came at Boaz's feet, which Boaz is a type of Jesus. He's a type of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. So she came and she laid at Boaz's feet and she says, "I need a redeemer, Jim. I need somebody to take care of me." So he said, "Listen, you can stay here and I'll cover you with my covering. And I'll give you this portion of food and I'll take care of you and you won't have to worry about that." So she came. And the Lord covered her. How many knows when you come to Christ, you were covered with something greater than yourself? God covered you with his blood. He covered you with his atoning grace. He covered you with his freedom. He covered you with his peace. Now you have been blessed, and all of that has been afforded you because Jesus has covered you at the winnowing floor, at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. So what does this have to do with Paul and Silas? Because it was at the hour of midnight that Ruth found her Boaz. She found her Redeemer. And it's at the hour of your midnight that you're going to find the greatest treasure that's ever you could have ever imagined finding. That's why the devil fights you so hard, because he don't want you to realize, he don't want you to embrace the power and the opportunity of this great blessing. At midnight, at midnight. Some of you have been there. Some of you are there. A time of great hardship, emotional turmoil, a tough time in your family. Listen, addictions and drugs, they create a darkness in families. How many know that? Not only a darkness in families, but in communities and areas. Listen, that's because it creates a prison. A prison. This was the inner prison. You got to realize not just a prison, but an inner prison. A prison that was dark, a stench that filled the atmosphere, a heaviness that filled the atmosphere. Death and dying and disease were there. Human remains. Listen, people they left their waste in these places. They were infected with disease, rats, and all kinds of nasty things. It was dark there, and they were bound. And they were suffering. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm doing that. They were suffering. They had been beaten and they were pretty much left for dead. Maybe they thought these men will die there. And they left a guard watch over them to make sure they didn't get loose. But it was in their hour darkness. They could have died there. They could have quit there. Listen. In your darkness right now, you could die there. You think you could die there. You think that maybe in that also you could quit there. You could give up there. No, you can't quit. You can't give up. You can't give in. Today it's time to get up out of your darkness because God has shined the light of His glory to you. This is no time to throw the towel in. This is no time to give the referee the signal, I'm done. You just begun. You're not done. Quit listening to the devil whispering in your ear telling you you're done. You're not done. You got a lot more licks in you. You got a lot more punches in you. You got a lot more life in you. It may be covered. It may be blanketed in your darkness. It may be bound by your troubles and your situations. But today, you're 1 minute away from your morning. There's a breakthrough coming. I believe that. Some of you here in a dark place in your finances. I believe if you hold on to God, there's a breakthrough coming in your finances. I believe that. I don't know who that's for, but I believe that if you're here and you're truly trusting God, that a breakthrough is on the way. Morning is on the way. Some of you here need a breakthrough in your families. Joy is coming in the morning. You're going to be enveloped by a joy that you could only dream about. A joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that's beyond description. You can't describe it. How can you describe this Yeshua? How can you describe Him? Who could you compare Him to? What joy could you find somewhere else? You can't, because it can only be found. And the joy you find in Him, in your darkness. At the hour of midnight, in the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. You know, every time we hear about Samson, we hear about his strength, his supernatural strength. God would rise up in him. The anointing would rise up in him, and he would break, you know, ropes and chains and tear doors open. He had just massive strength beyond what we could understand. And so, at the hour of midnight, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 3, Samson was in town, but he wasn't there for the right reason. He was looking for a woman. Let's be real. It wasn't the encounter that was holy and righteous. But God loved him. Samson wasn't always in the light. But yet, in spite of his situations, in spite of his problems, in spite of his failure, in spite of his junk that he had to press through, there was a love that God had for this man. And he used him in a powerful way. And he used him to bring freedom to God's people during the time of the Philistine dominance in the area. So when he came, the Bible said he was in a place and the Philistines had plotted to come against him. So they moved out. They moved out to go in and capture him. But he stayed awake. How many knows that sometimes in the dark you got to stay awake? Because there's an enemy ready to take you out. There's somebody after you. Somebody wants to destroy you. There's an enemy that wants you no longer to exist. So if he could kill you in the prison, if he could kill you with an overdose, if he could kill you in some other dark place, he'll do that if he can. A dark place in Samson's time. His life, one of the darkest times in his life. But suddenly, he woke up in a supernatural power, a strength that he didn't think he had, a strength that he'd realized many times, but yet he needed it now. God's telling some of you right now who feel like you're in a dark time, I just don't have strength to go on. Yes, listen, I know you may not feel that strength right now, but there's a strength coming up on you, amen, that you haven't sensed before, and God is going to give you victory. I said God's going to give you victory. You just got to hold on. And this is what he did. He ran, grabbed the doors, jerked them out of the wall, and he took them up, faced his enemy, facing Hebron. And that day God gave him a victory. Victory's coming. How many believe that? I'm not trying to preach you a real fuzzy message. Makes you feel all warm and fuzzy. This is real. Do you believe it? Sometimes you've got to shout in the devil's face and say, yes, I believe it. You've been in a dark place, Josh. A dark place. You've been in dark places, but you held on. You may have not always felt what you thought you should have felt, but you hung on. You may have not been perfect. You may have failed. You may have thought you've disappointed. You may have thought that darkness, gloom hovered over the atmosphere and filled your life with those circumstances, but you hung on. And now you begin to see the light, some light. Because listen, a breakthrough is coming. A breakthrough is coming. God's breaking through on your enemy. He's breaking through. The power of Jesus, only is breaking through on your situation. God has sent his word here. He has sent his light to permeate this atmosphere and remind you that hope is here. So today, what are you going to do at midnight? What do you do? I believe there's a miracle. There's some of you in this room right now that need a miracle in your life. You need a miracle. You need something that comes from God that you can't do yourself. You can't do this. Bobby, you can't live the Christian life in your own strength. Even though you've got big muscles, big biceps, you can't beat the devil with muscles. You got to beat him with God's power and strength. You can't run fast enough in your own strength to outrun him. You can't be smart enough in your own wit and smarts to outsmart him. So here Paul and Silas was in the darkest moment in their life, maybe Paul's ministry. Yet, at the hour of midnight, they chose to do something. And this is about decisions, friend. It's about your choice. What are you going to do in your midnight? Are you going to give up? Are you going to quit? Are you going to quit church? Are you going to quit worshiping? Are you going to quit studying God's word? There are people who have done that. All the time it seems like I'm just prodding, pushing people. Come on, you can make it. But there's got to be a time in your life that you've got to stand up yourself in the strength of God and say, I know I can make it with God's help. Because in the end, it's Him that carries you. It's Him that helps you. So what are you going to do? It's what you do before that midnight that's powerfully important. It's what you do in that hour, that preparing time. It's what Daniel did before his midnight hour came. He prayed 3 times a day. He had a habit of praying. How many of those are bad habits and good habits? There are habits that make you walk like this. Come on, get real. There's habits that make you lie, maybe. There's habits that make you gossip. There's all kinds of habits. But there's one habit we should develop as a child of God, and that's the habit of praying. Always pray. That's what Paul said. Pray always. I don't mean you have to be on your face. Just pray. Everybody shout pray. Isn't that what the war room was about? Last I heard, that was about prayer. Isn't that right? Some of you come out there, man, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm making me a room and I'm going to pray in it. Keep praying. Turn to somebody and say, keep praying. Keep praying, Jimmy. You've been in some dark times in your life. But pray. Pray. So Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he didn't know a lion's den was heading his way. I'm going to say this right here to you this morning. You're in a dark time. You've been through a dark time. Or a dark time's coming your way. Because we've all had to experience the midnights of our life. We've all been through dark things. So this morning, he prayed. And he prayed. And when the king got mad at him and his people turned against Daniel because his faithfulness and his God, they threw him in a lion's den. Guess what Daniel's prayers did? I know all of us are going to say, God shut the lion's mouth. Would you care to believe that it was Daniel's prayer to his God that calls the Lord to move on his behalf and shut the lion's mouth? How many knows that? Well, I do know it. I've been there. I've been in the lion's den. Listen, friend, I've been when my enemy wanted to take me out, but I know that God shut the lion's mouth. And he's ready to deliver you today in your dark time, in your dark moment. Do you believe that? Amazing things are found when we position ourselves in a place. So I'm going to say to you this morning, winding down here, that you're getting ready, and I believe this by the authority of God's word, that some people are in here right now, you're in a position of a breakthrough. You're in a position today of amazing thing happening in your life, a miracle. You're in a position of a thing when things turn around. Because see, at the midnight hour, it's a positional time. It's a time when things are getting ready to turn around. And I believe that. I believe that. He'll turn it around. Listen, there are people in this room right now, God's already turned around in your behalf. I wish I had some amens in the house. It's almost like I'm preaching to myself right now. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, there's some people right here that God has turned around. His faithfulness, His power, His love, His grace has turned the tide and turned things on your behalf. If that's you, stand to your feet right now. Don't sit there and hesitate and say, well, should I do this? Come on. If He's turned around something, look around the room. Wow, man. There ought to be enough shouting in this room that the little bitty windows ought to be shaking and vibrating right now. The lights ought to be shaking. This floor ought to be shaking. Some people are getting ready to dance at the place you thought you were going to die in. So the challenge is, are you too bound up by your pride, your dignity, what worry, what people, what think about you? Look at this. And a place in his darkness, a place in his darkness, and he reached out and he said, Mr. R, I don't have nobody. I don't have nothing. My wife's left me. These drugs have about destroyed my life. I don't even have a home. And this is a... I got Jesus. Rick, did you hear that? That make a dead man get out of his coffin and shout hallelujah to the King. Some of you need to lose yourself and shout today. Some of you getting ready to dance before. You said, I've never danced before. Get ready. Turn to somebody and say, get ready. Have you danced? Yeah, I know you've danced before. Joyce, I've seen you dance before. I've seen you dancing with your daughter. And I know you dance. I know you've run about 15 laps around this place. You're getting ready to run again. Man, I've seen Kelly dance a few things. Somebody said today, cutting a rug. And I know you don't understand that terminology. Your moment's coming up here, Sal. Oh, are you ready to dance? Because joy. Are you ready to dance, Tracy? You say, well, yes, she's ready. She's past ready. She's way time ready. Hang on here. Don't leave me. Everybody say, hang on. I saw 80 men. I've never seen a sight like that before. I don't know what the warden and the staff and the officers thought about that. Harless or somebody told me that night. Said, I wonder if they thought a riot was getting ready to come down. I wonder if they got the tactical force prepared and ready. But it wasn't just a riot of noise and clamor. There were people who thought they'd come to Mountain City to die. But right there, on that spot, they broke free, tears flying, joy unspeakable. And they danced up there around with Heath and the team as we danced together and rejoiced in our God. Nakia, have you danced before in the house of the Lord? I won't ask if you've danced before. Get ready. Get ready. There's freedom there, Jenny. It's not just about coming up here and jumping around. There's freedom. You got to dance with purpose. You got to dance with target. Because God is ready for your praise today. Deliverance is coming. Turn to somebody and say, I'm getting ready to get free. Hang on here just a minute. Whoa. Hang on, my sister. Yes, I know you have something to say. Ginger, it's coming to Duffield. Is she back there somewhere? It's coming to Duffield. Justin, it's coming. Listen, it's coming. God's going to use you. Wrap your heart. Stay with God. God's going to use you. Jonathan, Carrie, God's going to use you. God's going to raise you, use you to hold the light back to those that's coming behind you. Woo! Get ready, man. At the hour of midnight, they begin to sing and to praise the Lord. Somebody was listening. Somebody was listening. At that hour, their midnight, their darkest hour, they chose, they made a decision. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise God anyway. I know this is a hard place. I know it's a tough place. We may die here. I don't know if we'll ever get out. But I'm going to praise God. And when they decided to praise God that night, the atmosphere changed. When you wrap your heart 100% around God, things will begin to change in your life, Clay. They'll change, Amber. They'll change, Sal. This is your help. There was a famous, oh, please don't criticize me because I'm going to use a secular song here. Gladys Knight wrote a song, "There's a Midnight Train to Georgia." Isn't that right? If I got the wrong one. I don't know what was on that midnight train to Georgia. I don't know if she ever got on the train because I don't even remember the lyrics of the song. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I know who's on this train with you. Amen. And he's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. Turn around to somebody and say, "He's with me." Come on, meet it. Some of you got to just break free right now. You're too bound. You're too worried about being cool. Just break free. Say, "I don't want to be out of order." You think the Holy Spirit's out of order? He's not going to create something for you to rejoice in and say it's out of order. So they chose to praise the Lord. Then suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Kelly, I heard you preach a message on this one night. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Something beginning to happen. Hannah, up on that little parking lot up there, it was a midnight hour for you, around a campfire. She was worried about her mom and her dad. She said, "Oh, Granddad, I just want my dad to have the freedom that I've got." And she threw that old stick in that fire. Somebody say, "That's just a bunch of old kid stuff." But she had the Holy Ghost wrapped around it. And she had a vision wrapped around it. And she had a word wrapped around it. She threw that in the fire. It had direction. And that night she praised the Lord around that campfire in her darkest hour. The next Sunday morning, big old Heather walked through the doors. God was all over him. The atmosphere changed. And when the call was made, he responded in his midnight hour. Suddenly, there was a sound. Suddenly, there was a shaking. God's trying to shake some of you all up. He's trying to shake you up. Yes, he may be using circumstances. Yes, he may be using situations. But something's moving. Turn to somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Something is moving. The Lord's coming. How many knows that? Oh, pastor, preach, they've been saying that for hundreds of years. But Jesus is coming. You know what? I hear his footsteps. Wars and rumors of wars. I hear his footsteps. Pestilence and disease. I hear his footsteps. Earthquakes in diverse places. Footsteps. Oh, I hear his footsteps. Not only is he coming in the clouds, but he's right here today. He's present to break you free and give you freedom. So here we are. Some of us are where Paul and Silas are. Some of us have been there and we're rejoicing today. And some of us are maybe on the edge of a dark time in your life. But today God has come to break you free. Let me tell you, Regan, Jonathan, Justin, Roman, whoever's been incarcerated, it's okay to tell people you were. Yeah, I know you've told people. Well, listen, he has been. He's been there, but God set him free. But you don't have to be in a literal prison to be bound. Because some of you right now are bound up. You're bound up in hate. You're bound up in pride. You're bound up in situations. And you just can't be free. You're bound up with your own agenda and your own stuff. And I'll be honest with you. When the last breath's leaving you, it won't mean a hill beans. Because it's just stuff. Everybody say stuff. So here, suddenly an earthquake came. Shook this whole prison. And everybody in the prison, the prisoners all was there ready to run free. And the jailer knowing that if they got free, he was going to lose his life. He'd answer for it. So they all hollered out, "Don't do yourself any harm because we're all here." How many's here today? Say, "I'm present." Come on, man. Help an old teacher out right here. Say, "I'm present. I'm in the class today. Lord, I'm in the class. I'm in the class of hard knocks and licks and bangs. And I've troubled and I've been through things. But I'm here." So he came running down. Listen to this. This is the most powerful question anyone ever asked. He came running and bowing down at Paul and Silas' feet. Broken, and he said, "Sirs, something's happening here. I don't understand this, but what can I do to get saved?" I promise you, this is the truth I'm getting ready to tell you. I was in a shop of a businessman the other day, and just talking to this man, the atmosphere of that shop, it was a mechanic shop. The atmosphere of that mechanic shop changed. And I talked to this man. I gave him a cross. And I was walking and leaving the room. He followed me. He followed me. Ooh, I feel weak in my knees right now. He followed me. Not many people have asked this question down the years, but this is what he asked. This is what he asked, Yvonne. "I don't understand a lot of this stuff, but how can I get what you've got? How can I find Jesus? I don't understand him. I don't know what it's all about, but what do I got to do to get in?" That's what he asked. And I began to share the gospel with him. This is what I said. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, and you will be saved." I didn't hold a book up and say, "Well, you got to belong to this denomination, that denomination. You got to take a 20 step. You got to go to seminary. You got to go here. You got to go there. You got to go back and do this many religious acts or right." All I said was to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." How simple is that? And some of you here today, you're on your midnight hour. I'll never forget what Clyde said in the prison in Mountain City. He said, "I don't understand this, Rick Bentley, what you're doing, what you guys are about, but I just know it's real enough that I want what you got." That's pretty powerful. How many knows that? So today, he got saved. He accepted Christ. He took him home, Tiffany. This jailer, this enemy of Paul and Silas, took him home, washed their wounds out, fed him a good meal. We're getting ready to do this in a few minutes. Not only did he find Jesus, but Paul baptized him and his whole household that evening. I'm telling you, something's getting ready to happen. Do you believe that? His whole family was changed because of what this jailer wrapped his heart around. It's not about you. It's about those who are coming behind you that you need to shine the light to. Say, "Listen. Listen. Come on. We're going to find this freedom, this breakthrough today. Do you believe that? Bow your head right now if you believe that. I want every believer right now to call upon the Lord right now. Jesus said, every captive free. There's already people responding right now, my sister. And as you're praying right now, come here. Share what you're sharing.
Well, I used to live in Texas. I moved here about 2 years ago. I got four brothers. Two of them were on drugs. And I was worried about us coming around together, but you know, I used to worry and I wanted to come around and talk to each other. And you know, it's not up to me. It's God. God has worked so many miracles and so much stuff through my life that I could never thank Him enough. You know, I just want to tell y'all, you know, forgive. Forgive people. Forgive them and love them. Thank you.
Amen. God's getting ready to set some people free from unforgiveness right here in this room. You've struggled with unforgiveness. You've been hurt by people, and it's hard for you to forgive them. And that darkness is surrounding you like a chain. It's holding you up. But today, you're getting free. I believe that with all my heart. Kelly, I believe that. I want prayer warriors right now already come. I already believe that there are people coming. So I want you to come right now, people who are ready to pray for people, ready to pray with people. I want you to come right now. Come up around this altar and make a way so these people can come. Make a way so these people can come. If you're here in the room today and that's you, I want you to come right now. I want you to begin to take that step of faith, and I want you to trust God right now with your life. I want you to trust God with your life right now. Come. Believe on the Lord. You don't have to. You say, well, I don't know this. I can't figure this out. Listen, you'll never figure it out. It's not about you trying to figure something out. It's about you putting your faith in a God who is real, more real than you are. So today, if you're here and you're lost right now, I want you to come. Come right now. If you're bound by something, come right now. If you're in darkness, I want you to come right now. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Don't wait on somebody. Don't wait on somebody. Don't wait on somebody. I'm coming right now. I'm coming right now. Something's going on. I'm coming right now. Come on. There are people in this room that need to come. You need to respond. Come on. Come on. Come on. You say, I'm waiting for the right time. Listen, there'll never be a right time for you. This is the time. Today is the day. Now is the time. Come to Christ right now. Some of you need a breakthrough right now. Right now. Right now.